You know, we'll be getting back into that little study we've been doing in the book of Philippians on the things. And we'll be getting into some things that the Lord wants you to think about. So if you will, consider that being here with us tonight. But I want you to take your Bibles this morning. Look with me in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter number 7. The Gospel of John, chapter number 7. We're gonna look at, a lot of times you look at chapter number 8 and all the things that are there. And really, I tell you, I've been studying around that and somehow got backed up in chapter number 7. So that's where a lot of good stuff came from. But I want you to look at John chapter number 7. Look with me down in verse number 37. Verse number 37. And it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of his people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this man is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came some of the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? And have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus said to them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth not our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Let's have a word of prayer if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you for your blessings and your love, and your goodness, and your grace, everything you've done for us today. Thank you again for all that you have shown us today, how that you have just reached down and spoke to our hearts. Thank you for a good time of Sunday school and the Word of God that was taught there. I pray now, may you just get honor and glory out of this service today. Speak to that one that's lost and needs Christ in their life. Would you save them by that amazing grace? And again, we'll just praise you. We'll give you thanks and honor and glory for everything you do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to think with me on this thought this morning as we looked at this this little section of text here. I want you to think on this thought. Divided or united? Divided or united? When you begin to look at the scriptures here, you see that this is probably the way that it's always been in everything and everywhere that we see Jesus as he's presented and as he comes forth. He always comes to a place where it seems like that there is this opinion and that opinion about him. In other words, there, and you saw it there with me as we were reading these scriptures in verse number 43, it says, so there was a division among the people because of him. Amen? There's always going to be a division when you preach and when you stand for Jesus, there will be some dividing that takes place. Amen? I mean, you either for him or you're against him. You're either on his side or you're on the devil's side. I mean, man, you got to make up your mind. That's why I say, ask yourself this question. Are you divided or united with him this morning? Are you divided against him or united with him? And you can see, these are, it doesn't matter who it is, there are people on either sides of any kind of level you want to look at, and they are divided when it comes to Jesus. Thank God, let me just tell y'all this, start with, I'm glad I decided to be on his side, amen? I'm glad I'm united with the Lord Jesus today. And I'd suggest everybody in this room that you get united with him too. Amen? But I want you to notice this and realize now, if you go back to the very first part of this reading, you'll see that what's going on here is that this is a feast time of the Jews, all right? We're in the time and they are having the, well, look in verse number 2. It said, now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. The Jews' Feast of Tabernacles. Now, what that was a time when the Jewish people had a time where everybody had to come and celebrate in Jerusalem. They all had to come and give honor and worship and praise to God. They would all come, and as they came, they all built these little tabernacles. They call them, sometimes you'll see it referred to as booths, but it was a little place that they made out of the branches of trees. They'd come, they'd make this little thing, and they would stay in them for an entire week. And during this week, the priest would offer sacrifices, and the priest would pour water on the sacrifice, and the people would rejoice, and they would shout, and they would eat the food, and they'd just have a good time in the street. I mean, it was a time of celebration unto the Lord. Amen? Don't you wish we did that again? I mean, where we just really come together and had a time of celebration under our Lord for what he had done. Now, they were thinking back when God blessed the children of Israel as they traveled out of the wilderness and came back or came to the promised land. They were celebrating how God met their needs and how that they lived in They say the little tabernacles. They lived in places that they could pull up and take off and move again. You know how they had to live in tents and how they had to wander around in the wilderness. So this is what they did. That's the time. That's the setting of it. You see, as I say there in verse number 2, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And as I said, the priest would go around and he'd offer a sacrifice and he would get the sacrifice ready. He would pour water on it and then they would burn the sacrifice, and it was just a time of celebration. But on the eighth day, on the very last day, they'd do that for 7 days. And then on the eighth day, they would have the same ceremonies, if you would, but it was called a solemn day of worship. There was the sacrifice made, but there was no water poured on it. There was no water this day. And there was no singing. And there was no worship. And there was no rejoicing in the manner that they'd done the previous 7 days. It was a solemn day of assembly. And they hoped that everyone would remember what the Lord had done for them. And that's the occasion that you see when Jesus is here in verse number 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast. And they would call it that. The eighth day was the last day or the great day of this feast. Jesus stood up and he began to tell them, you know what? Hey, we're here at this time of celebration. There is a sacrifice, but there's no water. But you see what Jesus said? Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I mean, Jesus said, I am the water of life. Thank God that Jesus is the water of life to you and to me. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Hey, that's what the Bible tells us. So Jesus has declared this, and it tells you here that he's talking about in a spiritual realm, and he's talking about the Spirit of God, which they which believe on him should receive in verse number 39. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus is not yet glorified. Jesus hadn't died and hadn't prayed, and the Father sent the Comforter. All that's still to come. But Jesus told him, man, if you're thirsty, I've got the cure for your thirst. Isn't that what he told the little lady by the well there in John chapter number 4? He asked her for water, and she said, why are you asking me? He said, if you knew who it was that was asking you, you'd ask me, and I'd give you living water that you wouldn't have to come here and draw it. Neither would you ever fail of it again. You'd have a fountain on the inside of you. Amen. And that's what Jesus is trying to preach to these folks here. But do you see what happens? It says many of the people, therefore, verse 40, when they heard it, they said, of a truth, this is the prophet. And others said, this is the Christ. But then some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? They're divided. They can't make up their mind. And then if you get into the Lord section of it, you see where the Pharisees said, what are y'all listening to him for in so many words? Go take him. Let's get him. They had plans to kill him and get rid of him. And they had sent some of the officials out of the temple to go get him and bring him back. And then when they didn't, they said, why hadn't you taken him? They said, we ain't never heard no preacher preach like this. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad of that? Hey. But listen, hey, there's some things here that you see. And the people that we see. So let's look at them for a minute. And as I say, let's see if we're divided or united with Christ. First of all, I want you to realize this. Let's talk about some that were deceived. Some that were deceived. There's some that were deceived in this crowd. And do you see the things that brought that and caused that deception in them? First of all, I want you to notice there were the customs of the religious. The customs of the religious. Look in verse number 52. It says, they answered him and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. If you remember, the Pharisees had an answer and maybe a Bible thought, or really wasn't just that. It was the tradition of their fathers. They had those answers for everything that came up, and it divided them from Christ. Every time Jesus would do something or say something, they tried to come back and retaliate and say, well, this is what our fathers taught. This is what our fathers believe. This is what we stand on now. Brother, can I tell you, religion's going to ruin a lot of folks and divide them from Jesus Christ. I mean, it's done it down through the ages. It continues to do it. And they will be divided because of religious customs. You know, you've heard that old saying, they say, the last seven words of a dying church is, we ain't never done it that way. Well, that's it. We're going to stay with our tradition. Oh, mama and daddy thought this, grandma and grandpa thought that, and this and that and the other. Amen? Hey, can I tell you something? The Bible's still right above every custom and every thought and every mechanism of any man that's ever been born. Amen? And that's what's dividing them, is those customs of the religious. There's the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests, it says. They're all gathered up there and they're looking for him. Look in verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees and said, why have you not brought him? I mean, there's the religious crowd. Why, we're the do you know we have the religious crowd today? And they expect you to bow before them. They expect you to kiss the ring of the Pope. They expect you to recognize all of their little isms and their doings and their rights. And can I tell you, I've got a Bible. Amen. And I believe what it says. Thank God for that. Amen. So, first of all, hey, they're deceived. People are deceived today. And one thing that really strongly deceives many people is those customs of the religious. But second of all, the confusion that's caused by their common reasoning. People start reasoning things within their own heads, and when they do that, it really messes them up. Look back in this chapter, if you will. Look back up here in verse number 11. And it said, then the Jews sought him at the feast. They're looking for Jesus. And they said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he's a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. I want to tell you, they wanted to use their common reasoning after they had heard him, after they'd heard things about him, after they'd heard from him themselves. But here they are, and do you see what they're saying? When they go to this feast, they say, well, if he's who he says he is, where is he? Why isn't he front and center? Why is he not out here doing the things that the other religious dudes are doing? Why isn't he out here with the priests and the ones offering and making all the speeches and leading the singing and doing it? Where is he? What's he doing? Thank God, can I tell you, just because sometimes you don't see him and he's not where you think he should be and he's not doing what you think he ought to do, that don't mean a thing to him. Amen. Amen. He's doing what he thinks. And Jesus is there. They just hadn't seen him. He's there, and he is among them, but he's waiting on the right time, the right purpose, and the right place to get the things done that will honor God the Father before all of these people. But they're divided. It caused, you know, it says here that there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. You ever see that before? People, well, What do y'all think about? I don't know. What do you think about? I don't know. And they just back and forth and mumble and some reason and think. And I'm just telling you, sometimes the reason of division is because of the confusion that comes about from some of the common reasonings that we do. Well, preacher, that can't happen. You know, the Bible said that God opened up the Red Sea. I just don't. Listen, quit trying to figure it out. When God says he did it, trust him because he did it. Amen. You know, for years they've tried to convince us through science and scientific, there's no way a whale throat is big enough to swallow a man. You know what I think? On that. Amen. I believe that whale swallowed Jonah, and I believe the same one spit him out. And you say, well, it's physically impossible. Well, I don't know about it. Thank God, I'm just telling you, hey, I believe God. I believe what the Word of God says. I'm just telling you, your common reasoning many times will get you in trouble. You know, Sister Barbara was talking about just looking around and seeing where God is. Can I tell you, Psalm 19 will answer that for you. It says that if you'll look up, that day by day speaks a language that said there's a God. And every night that passes says he's him, he's alive, and he's the creator of all things. If you look up and you'll see the stars and the sun and the moon and everything, hey, you'll know there is a God. Amen? But people let their common reason of, well, I just don't know. You remember what when we were preaching last week about Nicodemus? And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? That is just foolishness of man's common reason. You know why that is, though? Because your Bible tells you over in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 2 that the spiritual things, the things of God, cannot be understood by a carnal man. They are not figured out by the carnal mind. You can't understand them. It don't make sense. And I'll tell you, if I look at it flat, black and white, and try to reason through it, it doesn't make sense many times. But can I tell you this? I believe God's supernatural, and he can do just what Jesus said. The things that are impossible for men, all things are possible with God. Right. Amen. Amen? So that caused a division. It was because of the customs of religious, because of the confusion that's caused by their common reasoning. And then there was something else caused it, the contempt of those that were the rulers. I want you to look down in verse number 45, and it says, when then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said, have you not brought him? And the officer said, never man spake like that. We ain't never heard anybody talk like this guy. And they said, are you also deceived? Now listen to this. Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? You know what? They didn't know it, but there's one. I believe Nicodemus was believing on Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, you see where Nicodemus steps up and says, now, do we judge men according the law says you ought to hear them out before you judge them? Nope. We've done made up our minds because we're the horse flies. You know, we're the big wheels. We're the ones in charge. We're the root. Can I tell you, friend? Hey, that's what, again, gets people in trouble more than anything is they build themselves into a place of contempt. We're right and we know we're right and we're not listening to anybody else. Amen. Y'all remember when you was a kid? Some of y'all might remember when you was a kid. I don't know. It's been a long time ago since I was a kid. But I do remember this. I'd ask Daddy something. He'd say, no. And I'd say, why? And you know what he'd say? Because I'm your daddy, and that's why. Amen. You know, I mean, well, that ain't a good reason to me. Well, that's the only one you're getting. That's all you need, right? And you know what? I grew up, my kids asked me, and I tell them the same thing, because I said so, that's why. Amen. Huh? I mean, here it is, and they're saying we're in charge. Don't question us. Don't dare doubt. Don't ask anything. We know what we're doing. We know why we're doing. We're the ones in charge. Wow. Do you know that causes division? I mean, it did. It didn't cause too much division at the house because I didn't have nowhere else to go. But sometimes we'd pooch that lip out. We didn't like it very well, did we? But in this instance, you see that this caused division. You see what it says in the very last part of this where it says, you know, Nicodemus said, does anybody judge anybody? And they said, well, you're not from Galilee. Don't you know that the Bible says no prophet rises out of Galilee? And it said, and every man went to his own house. They just got to a place where they just scattered because it was the contempt was there, and nobody was listening to anybody and was not going to listen to anybody. They were just going to have their own ideas and everybody just go home. Amen? That's the way the world is today. I'm right, and I'm saying it, and I'm right, and it don't matter what anybody else thinks. Can I tell you, you look at the political world. That's what they say. Well, this is what we've decided. This is how we see it. This is what we want done. And you don't question that at all. Can I tell you, it's bled over into the church world too. I'm telling you, hey, you better ask a lot of questions. If you want to know something at church, ask a lot of questions. You know, if you've got questions about how the finances are spent, you've got, as a member of this church, a right to know how things are being done. Amen? But do you know what? I've heard reports, and I'm not going to mention anything, but I've heard people tell me they went and asked, you know, somebody at the church, pastor or somebody, a deacon in church, you just don't need to know that. Well, I beg your pardon. I'm putting my money in here. I think I do get an explanation for those things. Amen? I mean, I believe that's so. Now, some places they don't. We've got people that handle that. Well, can I talk to them people? No. You don't need to know. You just need to do what we say. Man, I'm telling you, that's what the religious crowd was doing. And it caused division in the day of Jesus. They were dividing them. So, as I say, first of all, you see that there were those that were deceived because of these things. But second of all, I want you to notice that there were some that really did perceive who he was. There were some of these folks that are standing here during this time, and they had a perception that was given. I'm going to tell you, our perception today comes by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. What did Jesus say? He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to pray, and the Father's going to send the Comforter, and He's going to show you all things. Aren't you glad God can show me and you some things, and we can perceive what's going on in this old crazy world?
Amen.
You can see some things and you can understand because of the perception. But in this day, they didn't have that. But there were some of them, they perceived who he was. And there were some things that showed them in their perception. What was it? Well, first of all, look in verse 30 and 31. It said, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour is not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? First of all, let me tell you this. There were some people that perceived that there was something about him because of the miracles that he did. The miracles that he performed. Jesus performed some things. I want to tell you, hey, they're Pharisees and Sadducees and religious crowd. They wasn't out healing nobody. Amen? They wasn't out raising the dead. They wasn't out touching the eyes of the blind. They were not out feeding the thousands with just a handful of fish and bread. Hey, there was nobody doing those kind of things. Amen? And those people saw him and they said, there's something about this guy. As a matter of fact, there's a perception of those that they had sent to see him. They heard him and they said, this guy ain't like nobody else that we've ever been around. Amen? I mean, there's just something different about him. Can I tell you, brother, when you get around Jesus and the people of Jesus, you'll know there's something different about him.
Amen?
Right. Amen? Oh, listen, he did those miraculous things and he performed those things in front of them and it grabbed some of them and they perceived there was something different about this man. Also because of the message that he preached. The miracles that he produced, sure. But the message that he preached was something that convinced her. Look in verse 14. It said, and now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and he taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? He ain't been to our school. How does he know anything? Amen? Isn't that amazing? How does he know anything, having never been taught and educated by us? Can I tell you something? Oh, you remember what Paul said? Paul said, I sat at the feet of one of the greatest scholars in my days as a Pharisee. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of the Jewish people. I sat and I learned from him. He said, but can I tell you something else? Everything that I learned that's right, I got out in the desert with God by myself, and he taught me some things there by the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you today, folks, the Holy Ghost is the best teacher there is. He will show you some things. He will help you. And they said, how in the world is this guy? Can I tell you, this is the guy that John said in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Thank God, he is the Word of God. He didn't have to learn it. He was it in the flesh, praise the Lord. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the living Word of God. And Jesus still comes to me and you, and he teaches us the Word of God. Thank God for that today, friend. Listen, we needed to hear that. He had a message, and it was astounding. As a matter of fact, these other fellows, as I say, they came back and they said, never man spake as this man spake. We've never heard anybody. Oh, they had never heard a message like they heard from Jesus. The people were awestruck. The people were amazed. I'm telling you today, you get a man and the power of God get on him, and he'll preach like something you've never heard before, and it doesn't come of him. It comes from heaven above. Amen. And I like it when it's like that, don't you? I've seen God take some little old country fella, and you'd think, man, he ain't much. But you talk about the power of God get on him, the Spirit of the Lord come down on him, and then all of a sudden he starts preaching about stuff. Amen. And things come out of him, but things begin to come forth from him. And man, you just don't know till you've been around him how the power of God can do and work and be in a person. Amen. So because of the message, Jesus preached a message. They said, we've never heard anything like this. Amen? What does that mean? That means all their learned, educated, high up, sophisticated crew of the Pharisees and Sadducees and their religious, they weren't giving them anything except spouting out and saying, well, you got to do this and you got to do that. And you got, you know, Jesus was doing things, telling them things, explaining things to them, and they had never heard. What did they say? We've never seen it on this fashion. Amen? They were amazed and said, no man's ever spoke like this man. What manner of man is this? I mean, in all of these things, there's a message that people have never seen and never heard until Jesus came along. Amen? So their perception is helped. And it's not only because of that, because of the ministry that he performed. It wasn't all about him, but it was always about his Father. Look in verse number 16. And Jesus answered and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Verse 18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Jesus is talking about where his power and his strength comes. Look in verse number 28. Then cried Jesus as he is in the temple and he taught, you both know me and you know whence I am, and I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Amen. Amen? Jesus said, look, this ain't me. He said, the things that I'm doing, the ministry that I have, it's of God. Can I tell you, we better get ourselves out of the way. Us preachers are bad to say stuff like, well, that's my church, or over at my church. It ain't my church. Thank God it's his. Amen. Everything that we have, everything that we are, it all comes from him. And it should be from him and now for him. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you, I mentioned this before, you know why a pulpit is in the middle of most Baptist churches? And I've been in some others. I've been in some real fancy, big, you know, big time fancy built and all that kind of stuff. And they got a little staircase over in the corner that goes up to a little pulpit or speaking area or whatever it is. And you get over there in the corner. I believe we ought to be right here in the middle. You know why? Because it's about the Word of God. It ought to be at the middle of everything. It ought to be about Jesus. And he ought to be right in the midst of everything that there is. Amen. Hey, there was a perception. So you see, there were some that were deceived, but there were some that really perceived who. Don't you notice this last of all? There were some that received him for who he really was. Boy, aren't you glad that there's some that, hey, Jesus, they're at a place where the sacrifice is given and there's no water. I'm glad to tell you, Jesus is the fountain of living water. He told him, he said, if you're thirsty, I got the cure for your thirst. Amen. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He is the water of life that you and I need. If you're thirsty, he's got a good long drink for you. Isaiah says over in Isaiah 60 or 59, he said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come to the water. He that hath no money, just come on. It's free. Thank God. Aren't you glad? What God's got, he gives it freely. He gives it richly. And he gives it daily. Amen. For me and for you. Praise the Lord for all of that. Amen. But let me tell you, here's Nicodemus. I mean, Nicodemus realizes who he is. There's some here in this crowd, and there's some in other places that finally realize who he is. Nicodemus said, hey, I know who he is. Peter bowed before him in that boat when Jesus did the miracle of the fish. He fell before Jesus over in the book of Luke, I believe chapter number 5, and he bows down there and he said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. He really received Jesus as he was. He knew who he was. Paul had been the religious man all his life. Acts chapter number 9, Paul fell down on the road to Damascus and he said, who art thou, Lord? Then he heard a voice that said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Then he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. He received the real thing. Amen. I'm glad we can do that today. Hey, I want to tell y'all, I got the real thing. September the 17th, 1972, thank God, little old church over in Rossville, Georgia. The Lord saved me that night, and I've been saved ever since. Amen? Amen? Isn't that amazing how he can change your life? And he does it, and he does it in a big way. I'm just telling you, you got all the apostles, you got other folks that are following Jesus, and they received him for who he is. Amen? Remember that Ethiopian eunuch out there in the middle of the desert, and Philip has gone and attached himself, and he's reading out of the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, reading about the suffering servant of God. And he said, does this man speak of himself, or does he speak of somebody else? And old Philip jumped in there and began to preach to him about Jesus. And it said they come a little bit further, and he said, well, here's some water. What keeps me from being baptized? He said, not a thing in this world, if you believe. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? Can I tell you, it's what it takes today. You've got to believe in your heart that Christ Jesus died for your sins and that he will save you out of your sins. Amen? He didn't save you to stay in them. Amen? we sing that song sometime that says, he didn't leave me to die in my sins. He didn't leave me, thank God, but he put a new man within. Aren't you glad he didn't leave you where you were? But he came to you where you were, and he saved you just like you are, okay? I want you to notice this. You'll look when they received him. First of all, you'll realize he's a cure for your thirst. He's a cure for your thirst. He said there, as I say in verse 37, if any man thirst, hey, he's the cure for your thirst. If you got something that's causing you to be dry and dead and need some wetness, some water, some hydration from heaven, thank God he is it. He's the cure for your thirst. But not only that, all you got to do is just come to the fountain. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Don't come to religion. Don't come to a priest. Don't even come to the preacher necessarily. You need to come to him. I can't do anything for you, but you know what? I can point you to somebody that can do something for you. I can pray with you, but I can't save you. You know what? I ain't saved nobody yet. Amen? Our pastor, when we was down in Atlanta, came to church one Sunday, and he said he'd been out witnessing and talking to somebody, and as a fella, you know, that come to church, or used to come to church, and he said, somebody come up to him and said, preacher, I seen one of your converts down at the liquor store. And he said, I looked at him and said, well, that must have been one of my converts. He said, because if the Lord had got him, he wouldn't be down there. Amen. Hey, isn't that the way that it is? I'm telling you, the Lord does the changing. Come to the fountain. Just come to the fountain. He said, come unto me. And not only that, there'll be a consumption of something that'll bring satisfaction. He said, let him come unto me and drink. You got to come and drink of this fountain. And when you do, it said, come to this fountain. The songwriter said, come to this fountain, so rich and so sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, you've got to come and you got to drink. You've got to get in this fountain and drink. Let me just end up with this little thought, if I can, that the drinking that you do is, you know, going to be determining of your life, of which way it goes. You need to be drinking from the right fountain. My daddy, when he was younger, he said he was a drunkard, an alcoholic. When he got saved in 1963, he poured that stuff out. And I've heard other people testify about how they had done it, or their parents, or whoever, husband, wife, whoever, had poured that stuff out. And my daddy used to say, well, I'm still drinking. I just changed fountains. Amen. Can I tell you, that's the way this thing winds up, is your perception. I want you to know, you perceive who Jesus is. But then you've got to go that step further and receive him and take a drink of that precious fountain. You got to come and say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of life the way that it is. I'm tired of my way. I'm tired of all of this. And I'm coming to you. And again, what Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're here today carrying a heavy load. You're here today and there's something pressing, there's something weighing, there's something burdening your life. You know what Jesus will do? Just like he did for some of the rest of us. He picked it up and he set it aside. And he said, now learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. He said, you take my burden. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you'll find rest into your soul. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing something this morning. Maybe you're here today and God's wanting to save you out of your sin. He's not going to save you in your sin. He's not going to leave you where he found you. He wants to save you this morning. He wants to make that dramatic change that'll come in your life. Oh, it'll be from the fountain of the bitterness and the sorrow and the terribleness of this world. And you'll be into those waters, as it says in the Bible, they said it was Marah. M-A-R-A, Marah, which means bitter. But when they threw that stick in, the Lord showed them a tree, showed Moses a tree. And Moses throwed a tree into that water, and you know what? It became sweet. When you come to that old rugged cross, Jesus will make those waters that you drink sweet, sweet, and sweeter. Amen. Let's stand, if you would, this